So before we get too far down the path, there is a detail in this gospel that I know is standing out to us because we just heard it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three gospel writers, they share a lot of stories together, and they share this story, Jesus walking on water. But here's the thing. Matthew apparently wanted to ramp it up a bit. Matthew's the only one who includes the story of Peter getting out of the boat, wanting, at least, to get out of the boat. So I hope this is a glimpse of relief for us when I say that Peter was never going to walk on water. It was a doomed experiment from the very beginning. This is more the nature of Peter than it is the nature of our faith. Jesus does not command Peter to get out of the boat. I imagine it's more like resignation, because he knows Peter, we know Peter. Peter probably saw him walking on water and was halfway out of the boat already when he asked permission to keep going. So Jesus just said, "All right, come, let's see how this goes." Peter is enamored with Jesus. And this actually becomes a bit of a sticking point between Peter and Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Peter wants to be Jesus, but Peter's not Jesus. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. And out comes that motherly voice, you know, whenever we're about to do something we're not quite so sure. You know, just because your friend Jesus can walk on water does not mean that you should. Because we're going to drown. We're not Jesus. We need Jesus to save us. We need Jesus to rescue us, to come for us, to claim us. We cannot be him. We cannot get to him. So I want us to hear this part of the story that Matthew inserts as more of a reflection of the foolishness of us than it is what it means for us to stand in the full presence of the fully human and fully divine Son of God. But that's more of an aside. Let's get to the heart of the gospel, or what I think is the heart of our gospel for today, which is verse 27. If we had our Bibles in our laps or our tablets up, I'd tell you to scroll to verse 27, and we would hear Jesus say to us, in the midst of our storms, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And even that one little phrase where he says, "It is I," we glance right over that. And for our YC families and participants, they would be maybe kind of interested in knowing, and I want you to know, that Jesus says there in the Greek a famous phrase, "Ego eimi," which just means "I am." But here's the thing about that phrase. It's the same phrase that God uses all throughout the Hebrew writings whenever God is identifying God's self in the presence of others. So this is Jesus revealing and trying to help us understand what he is doing for our lives. "I am. Do not be afraid." Because we humans, we are enamored by his ability to walk on water. And it is amazing. It is impossible. It speaks of mythology. It speaks of the mysteries of God that we will never comprehend. And that one act, Jesus walking on water, it is all over our culture. I did a quick Google search of walking on water. 49 million hits. People have printed him. People have painted him. People have drawn this particular story. People have written poems about this. People have sung about this one act. Kanye West has a song called "Jesus Walks." Back in the 80s, there was this really cool guy named Eddie Money who sang a song called "Walk on Water." It is everywhere. And it goes beyond Jesus. It goes way beyond Jesus. The idea of walking on water, it fills us with doubt, or it causes us to doubt others who seem to have this group of followers around them. It is magical. It is captivating to know that Jesus could do this one thing. Here's my question. Is it possible that we see Jesus walking on water and we miss the ministry that he's trying to accomplish in this story? So at the top of our reading, we read that Jesus immediately made the disciples get in the boat and go on the other side. For some of us who had our Bibles handy, or maybe we know this story well, we know that right before this, in the same breath, Jesus has now fed 15,000 men, women, and children. Jesus tried to get away from the crowds at the top of chapter 14. Well, that didn't work out. The kingdom of God came to him, followed him all the way out to the wilderness. And Jesus, being Jesus, he loved the people. He had compassion for them. He healed their sick and he fed them. And Jesus, who, yeah, is the Son of God, he also is the Son of humanity. And he's probably exhausted. So now even the greatest human who has ever walked the earth, he he needs his downtime. So he gets the disciples, he gets them on a boat, whatever boat he can find. And they have 12 baskets of leftovers, so they're good. All they need is that boat, and just please, could you leave and go to the other side of the sea? Just please give me a break. And he gets the crowds, and he gets them out of there. And now, Jesus can have some me time. You know, that quiet moment to be with God. How rare it must be for him. How rare it is for us to have time where we can just rest and breathe, to sit, to kneel, to lay down, to talk one-on-one with our Father, to be open and to listen and to remember again that God is not just up in the clouds taking messages, but that God is here in our lives with us. Jesus clearly needs time to pray. He needs that moment. And this moment in the gospel maybe even speaks to us of all the moments that we don't get. All those moments that are stolen by our calendars of chaos that keep us propped up until, like Jesus, we are exhausted. So while Jesus is up on a mountain and he's communing with our Father and he's receiving a good word and he's being renewed himself, the disciples are now boating across the sea. A storm rears up. The waves rise up, and the belly of the boat must be starting to fill up with water because the disciples are struggling. But that's not the best way to put it. In my translation, it says that they are battered by the waves. That's not quite right. In the Bible, in your pews in front of you, it says that they are buffeted by the waves. That's not quite right either. In the Greek, it's torment. They are being tormented. They are being tortured. They are terrified. They are convinced that the next wave is going to be their last, that their next breath is going to be drowned out, that the next lurch and crush of the boat is going to splinter all the boards. They are hopeless. They are terrified. They cannot see what's coming next, and all they know is that they cannot handle the situation that they are in. All is lost. And maybe that's where part of the gospel begins to come a little closer to us. For some of us this morning, even on a beautiful day like today, when we are going to gather together and celebrate and give thanks for all that God has done, maybe even now some of us are looking out, and all we've got is water crashing against the side of our boat. We're hanging on, but we're losing grip. We're riding this out, but we feel like we're going to fall out. We are praying hard, but the storms and the wind and the water is silencing all of our pleas. We are by ourselves. The disciples are being tormented by the waves, and they're losing hope, and they're losing even their sense of survival. And some of us here, even on a beautiful day like today, some of us here, we know this torment. We have been crushed by crushing debt. We have been crashed with painful loss. We have been crashed and battered by debilitating illness. We have wondered if the loved ones in our family are ever going to be able to skip out and be relieved of their addictions. We have wondered if we have been able to fix our house, to pay our rent, to get food on our tables. We've wondered if our lives will ever be stable again. We have been battered, bruised, silenced, and we have been told, some of us, to just stay out of the way. And even some people here and some people in our community have been judged and convicted and cast off because of the color of the skin or because of the people who they love. We suffer. Our brothers and sisters suffer. Some of us are suffering still. And this really isn't anything that we can fix for ourselves out here in this fragile little boat. We know we can't save ourselves. Jesus knows that we can't save ourselves. So Jesus, being Jesus, he's up on the mountain. And he can see us. We're barely above water and we're going down. And he leaves his place of prayer and he comes for us. And I don't know, maybe there weren't any more boats along the shore. Maybe, even though Jesus can walk on water, maybe he's not a great swimmer. Maybe the Coast Guard's already out relieving other boats that are sinking. And maybe there just wasn't any time. But Jesus heads out and he comes straight for us. There's no stopping. There's no hesitation. He comes for us. No waves are going to slow him down. No winds are going to push him off course. Nothing, not one thing. Not one power, not one force, not one word of this world is going to keep Jesus from us. Because as the old sermon goes in the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is near. So Jesus gets to us. And because we're drowning and we're defeated and we are trapped in the mist and the fear and the doubt and we can't see anything else, we project all of our terror on him because we can't believe that he would come for us. We can't believe that God would love us that much. We're out of hope and we're out of control. And here comes our salvation. We don't even know how to respond to that. So Jesus reaches out and he gets to us. Jesus gets us free. He grabs us out. He grabs a hold of our situation. He calms the waves. He silences the wind. He reveals his unwavering promise that he is with us in the midst, in the storm, in the suffering, in our doubt. Jesus is right here with us, listening, watching, walking with us, giving us courage, giving us his strength, giving us his power so we can hear God's word and hear God speak our name. Jesus walks on water to get to us. He goes through hell to get to us. He dies on a cross and is cut off from his own Father to get to us. He is resurrected and he brings new life to us. Take heart, brothers and sisters. It is I. I am. Do not be afraid. Jesus comes for us and he claims us and he loves us every day, every moment, every time we celebrate, every time that we are consumed again by waves, every time we turn on the news and the powers of this world march against God's word, and every time we are overwhelmed and we can't breathe. Jesus loves us. He reaches us and he reaches for us. He pulls us free and then he remains with us all the way to the other side of the sea so that we can get out of the boat. And we can be rejuvenated and renewed, and we can get on with proclaiming and living out this good news for the crowds, the good news of God's love, the good news that no one, no matter where we are or who we are, is alone. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen.